Amen. Good evening, church. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. My name is Andrew Roberts, and I'm so glad to be with you tonight to share with you a study in the Word of God. I really am glad to be with you tonight. By the way, family and I were out of town this last week, last Sunday morning. In fact, I was in Madison, Indiana, which is this lovely historic town on the Ohio River. And I'll tell you what, it was cold. It's in Indiana, it's overcast, it's in the 30s, and it was just cold. And in my mind, I know that I'm a Hoosier by birth, and in the mid-30s, and there's no snow. It's not cold, but I'm going to tell you, I've lived here for 2.5 years, and buddy, it was cold. And so how lovely it was to be back in Florida this morning. And it's in the 60s, and it's in the 70s, and it's sunny, and it's glorious, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be with those of like precious faith. And those who have set aside some time this evening to sing to the true and living God praises and to pray to Him and to read His Word together, the Bible. And I'm so glad that we're here together and going to do that. I hope that you got one of the interactive outlines on your way in as we consider the Scriptures. This is a new year time, first Sunday of 2019, if you can believe that already. And because this is a time when people are reflecting and they are taking inventory and they're making plans or they're setting goals, even if it's just one word, this is the time when we do it. And because that's the case, I wanted to look at the example of King Josiah with you. When you look at King Josiah, he can really light a fire under anyone who needs an extra boost of motivation. To propel you forward, propel themselves forward, and particularly in areas of growth and leadership. And so what I'm speaking to you tonight is on the subject, lead as you grow. Lead as you grow. And my Bible is open to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, where we meet ancient Judah's great king Josiah. I'm going to tell you, if you haven't met King Josiah before, you're in for a real treat. He is a remarkable king. He is a great king. He is the kind of king that when he passed away, his people wrote songs about him. And they sang them. And they sang them for generations, the Bible tells us. He is that kind of king. But I want to set the stage a little bit. Set up the story a little bit to understand that things didn't look so great for Josiah at the beginning. Oh, it ended well as far as his love and his accomplishments for his people, but it didn't look so good in the beginning. In the year 640 BC, God's people, they are looking for a strong leader. The nation is in a very dark place. Spiritually, they had forsaken God. They had given themselves over to idolatry, which was a terrible sin. It was wrong for them to forsake their living God, Jehovah God, to go worship these statues, mute and dumb idols. That's a bad, bad thing. But then when you begin to learn and what 2 Chronicles tells us about how they worship those idols, it's absolutely frightening. All types of vile immorality and violence was perpetrated in the name of worshiping these false gods like Baal and Asherah. Even to the point of murdering their babies, human sacrifice, and giving their babies and the life of their babies to these idols. Now friends, if that's the way the worship worked, with that type of violence and malevolence, what do you think the society was like? How do you think people were treating their neighbors if that's how they worshiped their gods? Well, I'm going to tell you, that type of corruption went all the way up to the top. In fact, there was a king about the year 640 BC named Amon who was assassinated by some people in his inner circle. There was an attempted coup. They were trying to take the throne away. But the people wouldn't have it. They caught the murderers. They brought them to justice. And they took the son of Amon and they put him on the throne. So now in the year 640 BC, ancient Judah gets a new king. The good news is, we have a king. The bad news is, he's 8 years old. Hey, quick show of hands. Anybody in the room ever been 8 years old? Several of you have been 8 years old. Look at that. Would you have liked to have run the entire country when you were 8 years old? Honestly? I mean, I've got a little boy. He's six and he's smart as a tack. But I'm not sure I'm quite ready to turn the whole nation over to him just yet. I love him, but I'm not sure I am, right? And yet here we are. Here is Josiah, and you're the next in line. You're the king. You got the job, and you are 8 years old. Well, he's 8 years old. He's going to grow, but he makes a choice. He makes a choice to lead as he grows. And the ancient kingdom of Judah had a good leader in King Josiah. He's introduced to us in this way, these words. Ryan read it so well a moment ago, but have you found 2 Chronicles yet? 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. Josiah was young. He was young when he came to power. He was actually a fairly young man when he died in a battle. He was only about 39 years old or 40 years old. And yet his life, he made it count tremendously. How so? Well, I can tell you what meant the most to God and to Josiah's people. It's something that the Bible reports, how he would lead as he grew. And he grew and he led. And he led and he grew. In fact, there are certain dates marked off in his life. Significant things happen in these years. For instance, in the 8th year, so he's 16 years old, he makes a decision. I'm going to seek God. I want to know Jehovah God, not about all these idols. In the 8th or 9th year, again, he's 16 or 17 years old, he gets married and he becomes a dad, becomes a father. That's a pretty significant thing, isn't it? We learn in the 12th year of his reign, so about age 20, he makes another decision. I'm going to purge my nation of all the idols and all of the idolatry. According to 2 Chronicles 34, in the 18th year, he's about 26 years old, he makes another decision. I'm going to restore the temple. This house of God in Jerusalem, which has fallen into disrepair and ruin, we're going to fix that up and we're going to have worship in there again like we should. And a very incredible thing happens when he does this. They discover the book of the law of Moses. They discover the scriptures, which evidently has been lost for a very long time. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. In the 18th year, again, he's 26 years old. He makes a determination. We're going to obey these scriptures and we are going to observe the Passover. These high holy days and sacred days for the people of Israel, which apparently had been ignored for generations. And then in the 31st year of his reign, he's 39, he's 40 years old. He dies. Dies in a battle with the Egyptians. Short life, but significant life. And we're marked out by key years in it. He led as he grew. I want to tell you, we can lead as we grow. Now, for Josiah, he didn't have a whole lot of choice about it. He's 8 years old when he becomes king. His only option is to lead as he grew. But what an inspiring example for everyone who's ever been tempted to procrastinate another day or wait another season to influence and lead other people to good things, to better things. Friends, we have today. And we have this season to influence and to lead. That's what God has given us. It doesn't mean that you know everything, but you start where you are and you dedicate yourself to learn to grow to act, to learn to grow to act, and you are able to lead as you grow. Now, we're going to just spend a little time here in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35 and 9. We're going to talk about Josiah, who teaches us how to lead as we grow. And the first thing we see is this. Number one, you lead as you grow. We will lead as we grow when you admit your challenges. Don't defeat yourself, dedicate yourself. Don't defeat yourself, dedicate yourself. The great King Josiah, as well as his people, had some cause for fear and doubt when he begins to lead. I mean, let's just be honest about it. 8 years old on the throne, I don't know. There are some challenges we need to deal with, and let's not pretend that we don't. Cause for doubts? Yeah, I think so. How about his age? He's 8 years old. That is young. That is young in any culture, and that is young in any time. All right? It's not that, well, it's so different in the Bible. No, 8 is young. And even in Bible days and among the ancient Jews, you know, the journey into manhood, that was at age 13. That's when the boy becomes a man, and that's when you apprentice yourself to your trade in that culture and society. He's years away from 13. He's got to be king today. People would say, well, it's against all odds if this works. What else was going on? Well, he has some baggage, doesn't he? A bad family background. The truth is that Josiah's grandfather, a king named Manasseh, had a very long reign, 55 years. And in those 55 years, he created so much of the evil and the troubles, the idolatry, the violence, the wickedness that Josiah had to deal with. The kingdom was in shambles in many respects, and it was on Josiah's family. So that's where he's coming from. And then he's at a moment where it seems he may have to go it alone. He does not have a mentor. There's not this ready leader there to mentor him. We're not told a whole lot about Josiah's father, but what we learn about him is that when Josiah was a very young boy, you know, his associates assassinate him. Think about that. What did Josiah see in his dad, the former king? It was a story of failure, a story of fears. And now he's going to be the king. This is tough. This is tough. Leaders can admit that reality. Their reality. When it is tough, leaders admit the challenge. The good as well as the bad. The triumphs as well as the fears. And from defining the reality, they lead from there. They do not defeat themselves. And we see this with Josiah. In chapter 34 and verse number 1, how's Josiah introduced to us? Well, he's 8 years old, but he reigns 31 years in Jerusalem. And we're told in verse 2, notice with me verse 2, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David. He didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. What I want to encourage you with tonight is, while all of this is real, Josiah didn't let any of that baggage control him or stop him. He has a great long reign, doesn't he? 31 years. He is compared not to his father, not to his grandfather, but to who? His ancestor David, the great king, the man after God's own heart, says Josiah is like him. And it says he didn't turn aside, not to the right or to the left. He was dedicated. You see, every challenge or fear that could be listed as an excuse for defeat was fuel for dedication. And that's the first step, that we might lead as we grow. Not to defeat ourselves, but to dedicate ourselves. In all honesty, like Josiah, we can find ourselves in situations or moments where we feel totally inadequate, overwhelmed, in over our heads. Like being 8 years old and told you got to lead a nation. In over our heads. And like Josiah, some of us come from bad family backgrounds. We don't even like to think about where we grew up. Well, friends, we have to come, we grow up at the table our families have set for us. But we don't have to stay there. We can get up and we can move from there. And like Josiah, we might be looking around for a mentor and feel like we're coming up short. And there may be some things that we just have to figure out for ourselves, dig in and learn. But I want to encourage you tonight, because look where you are. Look around you. You see, whether you appreciate it or not, you've already stepped up to this challenge. To lead and to grow. It's 2019, and you're with an assembly of God's people here on a Sunday night, looking around at people who are interested in spiritual things like you, knowing God, building their lives upon the Word of God. It is a new day. It is a new year. The past is the past. We have this time now, this season now. We're going to learn. We're going to grow. We're going to act. And so lead as we grow. Second thing we see from Josiah, you lead as you grow when you exercise your mind. This is about being teachable, remaining teachable. Josiah is teachable. I'm impressed with this. In chapter 34 and verse 3, it says, "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David." Now, maybe we can do a little bit of math here together, but if he's 8 years old when he becomes king and he reigns for 8 years, how old is he in the eighth year of his reign? 16. That's right, 16. Yeah, 16 years old. Now, I asked you a moment ago, how many of you were 8 years old? How many of you have been 16 years old? You seen that day? Yeah, well, look at that. Almost as many have been eight. We've been 16 years old. Yeah. Now, get this. How many teenagers do you know who will admit, I don't know everything about the world? Woo! Let me one up you. How many teenagers who are kings do you know that would say, well, I don't know everything about the world? Josiah is so special because he's humble. He can admit, I don't know everything about the world. In fact, he admits that he wants to go a different way than his father. He has the courage to learn a different way than his father. He has the courage to live a different way from the trappings of his family. He's going to be seeking God. And from a young age, he determines this. Let me ask you this. Are you teachable? Are you learning? Might look at it in about three ways. Number one, are you a curious person? Are you feeding your mind? If you're curious about spiritual things and you're curious about God, where do you go to feed your mind about that? The answer is the Bible. You can go to the Word of God and read the Word of God. Learn more of it. Are you eager for new experiences? You like the idea of seeing new places? Stretching yourself and trying something new? This is about learning. This is about being teachable. What about this? Are you willing to listen to other people? You say, well, you know, I 16-year-old, 18-year-old, they should listen to other people. So maybe we should frame it like this. Are you still willing to listen to other people? If they want to stretch you, if they might have a new way or a better way, are you willing to listen to that? Give it a fair hearing. I'll tell you, this is just about being teachable. Understanding that we don't know it all, but God's Word has the answers, and humbling ourselves to go there and to seek it. He made a decision. He wanted to seek God. He exercised his mind, and he was teachable. To lead as you grow, number three, you have to own your example. And what we're observing here is that character counts. Now, we notice something about his example and his character in chapter 34 and verse 2. We're told he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David. He walked in the ways of his father David. So he chose the right figure to emulate, didn't he? It wasn't going to be Dad, and it wasn't going to be Grandpa Manasseh, but David. That's who I should emulate. He sets high standards for himself in this way, and people are watching. If you go with me a little later on in the chapter to verse 31, after the temple's restored and the scripture is found, we'll talk about that in just a moment, he makes a public commitment before God and all the people that he's going to follow God. In chapter 34 and verse 31, then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in his book. Now, don't undervalue this decision. Here's a king. We say, well, he was a special king. I think he was. Maybe he was a child prodigy. But at the age of 26, he was not encumbered by the trappings of the fame or the prestige or the honor or the wealth. He wasn't believing all the yes men around him. He knew that despite the power he had, there was someone higher than he. He wasn't the end-all be-all. And I tell you, if a king of an ancient nation can understand, I'm not the end-all be-all, there's someone higher than me, you and I ought to get a handle on that. I am not the end-all be-all, there's someone higher than me. It is God Almighty. And he humbles himself, he makes a commitment to God. But he does this before all the people. Notice the effect. Look at verse 32. Chapter 34, verse 32. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. Now check this out. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. All his people followed his example all his days. That's an incredible influence. I want to encourage you tonight that we all have influence. We all have someone watching us to see what direction we take, to see how we respond, to see why we act the way that we do. You know, I'm a preacher, and sometimes preachers get together with preachers and they start complaining. And they complain about the fishbowl. Life in the fishbowl. And how hard it is to be in the fishbowl. Everybody's looking at the fishbowl. And sometimes when the fellows are talking, I'm thinking, well, yeah, but you know what? When you come off like a know-it-all and you stand up on high and you're handing out your edicts, nobody likes you anyway. So, yeah, they're watching you. And they're going to hold you to what you say. And by the way, congregation ought to hold you to what you say. But if you're reasonable with people that this is the word of God, I'm learning it, I'm trying to live it, you're learning it, we're trying to live it, then it's not so bad. Who isn't that way? We understand those things. Be that as it may, I don't want you to think for a moment that this whole fishbowl thing is just something for a preacher or some public figure like a politician or a business mogul. The reality is that you have kids. And you have grandkids, and there's people here in the church that are watching you, and they want to be just like you. And you are reproducing yourself in them. Your example is noticed, and your character counts. You lead as you grow, and you appreciate that. Your character counts. The leader with good character will grow greater influence, and God's way is the way of character. The righteousness of God as a value, it moves people to do right by others. Because I want to please God, and so I'm going to do right by others. But doing right by others always fosters goodwill, and it always fosters respect. Absolutely. When we conduct ourselves in our affairs with integrity, like Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Okay? Stick with what you say. Keep your word. This is observed. This is a powerful example. It counts. To live with graciousness. Going that extra mile. Doing more than what someone expects. Again, like Jesus taught us. This is the way of Josiah, interestingly enough. In this 35th chapter, in verse number 7, once he reads the scriptures and we're going to have Passover, he wants all the people to participate in this time of worship, but it's going to require a lot of animals and a lot of feasting. Look at verse 7. Then Josiah gave the lay people lambs and young goats from the flock, all for Passover offerings for all who were present, to the number of 30,000, as well as 3,000 cattle. These were from the king's possessions. That's an incredible, incredible gift to all of the people to make it possible for all of them to worship together and share in this Passover together. I tell you, he was incredibly gracious. When we choose to treat one another the way we want to be treated, like Jesus taught us, that golden rule, it's a character that counts. God's way is the way of character. Finally, then, tonight, I want to say you lead as you grow when you discover the Bible and so tend your soul. When you discover the Bible and so tend your soul. Notice with me 2 Chronicles 34, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 14, Josiah makes his determination, his decision, as we noticed earlier. He's going to restore God's house in Jerusalem, the temple. It had fallen into disrepair. There were even idols set up in it. It had to be cleaned out. It had to be fixed. But in the process, notice what happens. Verse 14. Now, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So what does he do? Well, he goes and he takes it to Josiah. And in verse 18, look at verse 18. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. In the days of Josiah, literally, they discover the scriptures. Things that apparently were lost or misplaced, probably hidden in all likelihood to protect them from Manasseh or Amon and some of those things that were happening, from being destroyed by evil kings. And you know that Josiah had wanted to learn God's way. He had made a decision. I'm going to seek God and I want to walk in the ways of David. And there are some things that he could surely learn about what it means to follow God and to be a good Israelite, a good Jew, culturally. You know, who's our God? Our God is I Am. Our God is Yahweh. And our God is a jealous God. And we're not supposed to have idols, and so there's no idolatry. And we're supposed to take care of one another. There's some things to observe culturally about what it meant to be one of God's people. But now he had God's word read to him. You think that that would be a joy and a delight to hear it. But what is his reaction? He tears his clothes. A sign of mourning and frustration and repentance. What happened? Why isn't there great joy over finding these scriptures in a time of celebration? Because as they were read, he heard for himself now, according to God, what it meant to be God's people. And it wasn't just, well, the idolatry was bad. These things are an abomination. There has been a covenant. We have violated it in so many ways. We've done so many things wrong. There's so many things that we were supposed to be doing we haven't done forever, like a Passover. And there's great judgment going to be coming upon us because of this. It's a terrible, terrible situation. What happened? He heard the word of God for himself and he believed it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we are taught that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And what you are seeing is Josiah hearing the word of God, believing every word of it, and he is undone before the holiness of God. Not only is he undone, but all of his people. Oh, this is bad. I am not right before God. None of us are. He tore his clothes. Well, today, it is possible to know something of God culturally, to be doing your best to follow him about, you know, what you think it means to be a Christian, to follow God. But there is no substitute for discovering and reading the Bible for yourself. There's no substitute for it. The sort of vague ideas that people get about what it means to be a Christian or to worship God and please God, how you go to heaven, because I saw something on TV or I visit around churches at holiday times. There is no substitute for opening up the Word of God and reading it for yourself. I tell you, it is a discovery. And you will be convicted by the Word of God to know Him as He has revealed Himself in Scripture, to find out what does the Bible say. In fact, I want to encourage you this year. I want to encourage you to be reading the Bible. You cannot exit out one of the doors of this church building without seeing a bright yellow paper. And that is the Bible reading plan for our congregation. And in trying to encourage all of us to be reading Scripture together, and we're in Mark right now, Brother Edwin writes a fantastic blog article about the reading every single day. This is the URL for it. You can go there and you can put your email in. It can come right into your mailbox every morning. And I love that. Sometimes I'm reading the scripture and then I go read the article and I'm like, oh, that is insightful. That's right. That's true. I want that. Sometimes it works the other way. I check my email. I'm like, you know what? I need to read the Bible today. I got to do some Bible reading. But it's good. And I want to encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Discover it for yourself. And this is a great tool. Read the Bible, make disciples.wordpress.com to encourage you in doing that. When we look at Josiah, we see a fellow, a great man of God and a king who led as he grew. And we can too. You can too. Years are marked off in Josiah's life as big years. The 8th year, the 12th year. These were big years. Decisions were made. Things happened. What will be the year 2019 for you? Will it be the year for you that you discover the Bible? Read it for yourself and determine to follow it? Will it be the year for you that you determine I'm going to purge idols from my life and put God first again? Will it be the time that you admit, you know what, there are challenges in my life. There's some baggage that I've been allowing to hold me down. I'm not going to do that. By the power of God and the gospel, the chains can be broken and I can move forward in the Lord. Is this the year that you move forward in the Lord? Is this the year that you make a decision and determination? I'm going to speak to another about Jesus Christ. What will this year be for you? But if we will decide that we're going to this year learn and grow and act, then we're going to lead as we grow in Christ. I appreciate so much your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away and your notes away, Brother Joseph's going to come forward and lead us in another song. A song of encouragement, a song of invitation. An opportunity to say, this year is starting at this moment, and I want to start it right with the Lord. Jesus Christ came here as God's perfect gift. He died for your sins upon the cross, shed his blood that you might have forgiveness and new life in him, and he rose again. He ascended to heaven and he reigns now. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our High Priest. Praise God. Is he yours? I want to encourage you, if you've not become a Christian, confess your faith that he is the Son of God and put him on in baptism. If we can help you with that or any other spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more.